The scripture reading today will be read from Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
A lot of times in life, we have to look for the positive. COVID-19. COVID-19 has achieved people sitting on the front rows. Okay? Let's look for something positive in life. I forget those things which are behind, and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. Some years ago, country music singer by the name of Randy Travis had a song out, a hit song called Digging Up Bones. Some of you may remember that. Digging up bones, he said, digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. How much time do we spend digging up bones? How much of our lives is spent exhuming things that would be better left alone? Things that are in the past. You ever heard this? I may forgive, but I won't forget. There's a bumper sticker I saw a few years ago when I was down in Mississippi that said, Civil War ain't over, I ain't forgot. We don't want to let go of things in the past. Colossians chapter 2. Turn there with me. Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to begin in verse 9. For in him, he's talking about Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Jesus is the top. He's got power. Verse 11, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, he's largely talking to Jews, and he's talking to them specifically about the issue with letting go of the old law. But I think it applies to us as well. You notice that we are made alive in Jesus. Our sins and our sinful life was buried with him in that grave of baptism. It was buried with him, and we need to let it stay in the grave. We need to not be digging up bones. We spend so much time digging up bones. I remember what I did in the past. I remember my sinful life. I remember what I did. I remember all the things that were done to me. I remember all the hurtful things that have happened to me. All the things that keep me from doing what I should be doing because I can't let go of that hurt. I can't let go of somebody hurt my feelings. Scripture says it's in the past. We're made alive in Jesus. Our sins and our sinful life was buried in baptism. And brothers and sisters, we need to let it stay there. We need to not be digging up bones. A sailor one time told me that when they sail in the South China Sea and when they sail in the waters around China, they have to be very careful of the old Chinese boats. Because the old Chinese boats skippered by old elderly Chinese sailors have this bad habit of sailing along and all of a sudden they'll cut right in front of you. And I said, why would they do that? Isn't that dangerous? She said, it's horribly dangerous. Hardly a week goes by that some old wooden ratty Chinese ship isn't destroyed by some big modern boat that just runs right over it because they cut it too close. I said, why do they do that? He said, well, the Chinese have this belief, the older ones especially, that as they travel through life and as their boat travels through the waters, it collects bad spirits. And these bad spirits collect on the boat and they're all hanging off behind the boat. And they cause bad things to happen to the boat and the people that are on the boat. So he said, they cut in front of another boat because when they cut in front, the closer they cut, that other boat cuts off this long string of bad spirits that are hanging on behind the boat. And they get a fresh start. Even they want to let go of the bad things. They want to let those things stay behind. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Am I in the right place? Nope, I've got the wrong thing written down there. I'm sorry. You know, I'm right. Philippians 3 and 13, forgetting I was in the right place, I turned to the wrong page. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. Focus on the new life. Don't keep looking at the old. We can spend so much time looking back that we never really experience the good that Jesus has to offer. I like to summarize things. I like to put things where I can understand them and keep them straight. And here's the book of Hebrews. I taught a whole class, two quarters on the book of Hebrews one time, but I can summarize it for you right now. A better way. That's the whole book of Hebrews. It's a better way. Don't go back to what you had, the writer says. This is better. Jesus is better. The covenant is better. The law is better. The life is better. The reward is better. But you have to keep looking forward. Don't go back to what you had. Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism, in the death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, pay attention to this part, even so, just like Christ, we need to walk in newness of life. A lot of times we spend time, and we should, talking about what we refer to as the plan of salvation. The things in the Bible that tell us what to do to be added to the kingdom, to be added to the church, to have an entry into heaven, to hear the word, to believe that what we've heard is correct and it's right, to believe in God, to be willing to stand up and say Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. By the way, sometimes we talk about that as if standing up and saying it out loud is we've confessed and we're done. Confessing him means living like that every day. Repenting, changing our focus, changing our life, changing our direction, changing what's important to us, changing the way we talk, the way we live, the way we act. And then being buried with him in baptism, and we forget about the next part. Rise. Come out of the water to live a new life. Let those things in the past go. Looking back at the old life is worse than never having had a new life. Well, that's a harsh statement, isn't it? But it's scriptural. 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, begin with verse 20 with me. He's talking about people who have been saved. For if, after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, They've escaped from sin. They've been saved. They've been added to the church. They are part of the kingdom of God. He said, if after that, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Verse 22, he quotes the Psalms. He says, as a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. I can remember the times that we raised pigs. Pigs, as many of you know, don't have sweat glands, so they can't sweat. And they're subject to heat stroke. And I'd come home many a time in the evening and have my lovely bride be very upset with me because she was out there in the afternoon with a water hose cooling off those pigs. As she called them at that point, your pigs. And I'd go out there and I'd look at those pigs and I'd say, you were out here hosing those pigs down all afternoon? Well, it felt like all afternoon. They sure don't look like they've been hosed down. Because the first thing the pigs did was go right back in the mud. Right back in the mire. And that's what Scripture says is like going back and dwelling in the past. Going back and digging up bones. We all have things in our past that we don't like. We all have things that we've done. And I don't know about you, but it's awful hard for me not to remember those things. And in some cases, in some ways, we need to remember not to do that again. That's a good thing. Learn that lesson. I was probably about 18 months old. My mother walked into the room and looked at me, and I was sitting by the wall over there on the floor with a pair of tweezers. I don't know what happened to those tweezers. I still had them until about 4 or 5 years ago. And I had a pair of tweezers in my hand. And she looked at me and said, what's the matter? And I held the tweezers up and the end was all burned off of those tweezers. And there was a big black mark on the electric outlet in the wall. And she said, I looked at her and said, bites. It does. I learned, you know, the rest of my life, here I am in my 60s and I've never yet poked another pair of tweezers in an electric outlet. I've done a lot of other stupid things, but I haven't done that one. So it's important to learn lessons from our past, but let it go. Don't let it rule our lives. Don't return back to acting like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, there's a list for you. And most of us sit and read that list, and unfortunately, we're like that Pharisee in prayer saying, wow, that's a list of bad stuff. Look what the writer, what Paul goes on to say. And such were some of you. Some of y'all were sinners just like that list. Some of us, me, did things that were wrong, did things that were bad, did things that were hurtful, did things that were sinful, lived lives we should not have been living. But you were washed. But you were sanctified, he goes on. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Look at what that is, washed. I was cleaned. All the dirt taken off. Clean clothes, clean body, all of that gone. You know that feeling when you've been working all day long and you come in and you're grubby and you're dirty and you get in the shower and you get a nice hot shower, you get out, put clean clothes on, doesn't that feel good? We were cleaned. We were sanctified. We were made special. We were separated. And God says, you're mine. You were made special. You were justified. Justified. When I hear that word, some of us think of justified as being, well, there was a reason I did what I did. But I think it has another meaning. And some of you, when you do typing, well, I guess we don't type anymore, do we? But even when you do word processing, you know how those words line up at the side of the page? And they all line up in one line. They're justified, is what printers call it. Justified right or justified left or set so they all line up. We're justified. We're lined up with Jesus. We're in line with Him. We're in step with Him. I love the story about the family. Mom and Dad went and watched their son graduate from basic training in the Army. They had this big ceremony. Mom nudges Dad. She says, look at that. 10,000 men marching and our Johnny's the only one in step. Johnny's not justified. He needs to get in step. When we're justified, we need to be in step with Jesus. And we're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. All those things in our past are gone. They're done. So someone hurt you. Okay. Oh, we've all had someone hurt us. So you did something that was not very nice. You got things in your background that are not good. Okay. We've all had that. We need to let the old go. We need to not be sitting around digging up bones, exhuming things that are better left alone. We've been justified. We've been saved. We've been made into a new person, and we need to let go of the old. I am told, I haven't seen it myself, but I have been told, and I've read, and I've researched it, and they tell me this is true, that in the island of Madagascar and other places, I guess they have a thriving business of catching monkeys and selling them around the world. They use these monkeys in all kinds of scientific things, and they sell them in pet stores, and they sell them to zoos. And monkeys, as you can imagine, climb trees. That's where the expression climb tree like a monkey comes from. Monkeys are quick, and they run, and they're hard to get a hold of, and they're hard to catch. So how do you catch a monkey? Well, they tell me in the island of Madagascar, they have a way of doing it. They take a bunch of pots out there, big ceramic pots with a little thin neck like a vase. And they want to gather the monkeys around. They do it where the monkeys are in the trees watching them. And they take little shiny trinkets and drop them down, one in each pot. And then they go away. And the monkeys come back and they want that shiny trinket. They saw you drop it in there. They want it. And they stick their little paw down in there and there it is. And they grab a hold of it. And of course, when their hand is closed, they can't pull it out of the jar. And they're not big enough to carry the jar off. So they're stuck. All they have to do is let go and their hand would relax and slip right out. But no, they got their hand in there. They've got that trinket. They've got that shiny, worthless object. And they're hanging on to it, and they're hanging on to it, hanging on to it. And you come back, the trappers come back, and they catch the monkeys and break the jar and throw them in cages. All because the monkey wouldn't let go of something that was worthless, absolutely worthless. I want to share with you a story about me. Some years ago, I was involved in the short version of the story. I promise the short version. Some years ago, I was involved in a business in Cincinnati, Ohio, where the boss was not a very nice sort of person. And the long story, long, hard, difficult story short, I ended up being accused of things that were not true, illegal things, awful things. I ended up testifying against him because he was doing things that were illegal. I ended up testifying against him in federal court. He was tapping my phones. He was falsifying documents and signing my name to them. It got real ugly. And for about a year, we lived in a state of fear, not knowing when the sheriff was going to come down the street, knock on my door, and haul me off. I knew I hadn't done anything, but I was being accused of all these awful, terrible, nasty things. Well, as it turned out, everything was fine, but this man was not a very nice man. In fact, he was probably the nastiest man I've ever known on the face of the earth. He was sinful. He was obscene. He was crooked as a dog's hind leg, as they say. And he was out to hurt me and my family for about a year. Difficult year in our life. Some years later, I was teaching a Sunday school lesson. And I was, for some reason, that story fit the illustration we were talking about, and I was describing it, and I couldn't help it. My feelings about that man were bubbling out. Oh, I didn't like him. It was just awful. And as I was telling this story, and I finished the story, I gave them the long version, and I got through, and one of the young men in the class looked at me, and he said, "Brother Leon, this sounds like this is a really awful person." I said, "Yeah, he is. He's just an awful, nasty person." And he said, "Brother Leon, that doesn't sound like the kind of guy that I would want to go to hell for." Yeah. I felt like I'd been hit in the stomach by a fist. You see, me being upset with that guy and letting him control my stomach acid and letting my feelings for him twist my approach to life was mess. Didn't hurt him. It was me. Somebody says hating somebody or being mad at somebody is like swallowing acid and hoping it hurts them. And I had to let it go. And realize that I don't really care what kind of a man he is or what kind of a man he was. Jesus died for him too. And I need to not, if he does end up going to hell, I need to let him, not let him take me with him. I need to let go of the past. I need to stop digging up bones. Leave them exhumed. Leave them unexhumed. Leave them buried. Because that is in the past, and it's been buried. Jesus buried it with him in the water. Everything about the Bible is looking forward. Do you ever think about that? The whole Old Testament is looking forward to Jesus coming, looking forward to the kingdom, looking forward to the Lord coming. And the whole New Testament is looking forward to heaven. We need to not focus or worry about the past or even today, but stay focused on heaven. Someone did me wrong, it's in the past. I got hurt, it's in the past. I made a mistake, I did something wrong, it's in the past. Even if it's me that did bad things, it's in the past. We need to stop doing them and let them go. Do you believe in Jesus? I know many of you do. But do you really believe in Jesus? We did a trust building exercise, a team building exercise many years ago with a group that I was working for. And they took us out in the woods and they had us do all of these things. And one of the things that they had us do was climb up on a platform. It was about a foot by a foot and it was nailed to the side of a tree. Now, when I tell you this, y'all remember the story I told you about being stuck in a pecan tree? I'm scared of heights. I don't do heights well at all. This platform was only about 6 feet up off the ground, but we had to stand on that platform, hugging that tree, and then turn around and fall backwards, trusting our teammates to catch us. That's hard. That's really hard. I don't know about the other folks, how they did it. I had my eyes closed and I was praying all the way down because I knew I was going to die. My teammates caught me and let me down on the ground gently. Do you have the same trust in Jesus? Do you have the same faith in Jesus? That he is there, that he'll catch you. Are you willing to trust your life in Jesus' hands? Are you willing to put your faith in him? Are you willing to let go of the past and stop digging up bones? Let it go. It's over. It's past. What counts is today and tomorrow in heaven. I like little silly poems, and one of my favorites is short and it's to the point. It says, as you travel through this life, no matter what may be your goal, keep your eye on the donut, not on the hole. As we travel through this life, if heaven is our goal, we need to keep our eye on that donut, not on all the stuff around it. Not on all the things that don't mean anything. Not on the past. We need to stop digging up bones and live for Jesus. If you need help doing that, we're here to help you. If you haven't committed to Jesus, then a question comes to you, why not? You need to do it. Because the goal is heaven. The reward is heaven. And it's so wonderful. And I want to see you there. Let go of the past and reach forward. We're going to stand and sing this song, and I encourage you to respond in the appropriate way to your Lord, to your Savior. Let's stand and sing.